Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Always one of my most fun interviews, Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, on Skype with us today. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Jennifer, you're always a breath of fresh air because I've been tackling some tough topics, and something that I really like, I really enjoy, maybe do a little too much of it, is eating and food. And so I like to talk with you about that.
We all like, well, I like to talk about food too, I guess. That's why I'm here, right? This is why I do what I do. I like to talk about food.
Before we start the questions, and we're going to talk about diet culture, a biblical perspective on weight loss and some other things. Want to let our listeners know that you've been on our show pretty regularly. I mean, for over a year. So thank you for that.
I think just about a year, I think. Yeah.
So Jennifer is a registered dietitian, nutritionist. She has these fancy letters, RDN, after her name. She's also a certified diabetes educator, CDE. And we've talked about that because one of my daughters is a type 1 diabetic. And so Jennifer has a lot of really great things to talk about when it comes to food and the best way to eat. And she's talked to us about celiac. She's talked to us about an anti-inflammatory diet, which is available through her newsletter. Now, you're in the last weeks of that. I don't know if people can get back issues of your newsletter, but that's all available on your website, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually we just finished the anti-inflammatory challenge, was for the whole month of June. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually over, but there's a lot of other good resources, of course, on the website. And it's obviously never too late to sign up for that newsletter. And I do different challenges, you know, throughout the year. This month in July, we're going to be focusing again on some biblical perspectives with nutrition and what does that mean. So, for example, the newsletter coming out on Tuesday is going to be a piece about comparison and how that can really be harmful when we're working on changing our habits. And, you know, we look at one of our friends and we say, oh, wow, she's doing this or he's doing that, and I'm just not doing that well. And we kind of start, you know, getting down on ourselves a little bit. Or the opposite is true as well. We can become a little bit prideful in our progress too. So that's coming out on Tuesday. And then we're going to be focusing on some other concepts throughout the month of July as well. So it's never too late to get going with that newsletter. It's free. It's just something I do to help keep my clients engaged. And, you know, anybody who's listening, you know, if they feel like they don't necessarily need a one-on-one, you know, appointment with me, this is a great way to still kind of stay connected and still, you know, be thinking about goals as the year goes on.
So you go to nourishednutritioncounseling.com and you can click on newsletter and sign up for the free newsletter.
Yeah.
You also have a tab called Helpful Tools where you have a lot of really great recipes. Now, I made the mistake on my cell phone. It's a lot easier when you're on a computer, but when you're on a cell phone, you may not realize that only like two or three recipes show up, but there are different pages. There's like 10 or 20 pages of recipes. So make sure you go down and click the arrow to the next page if you want to look at all of the different recipes Jennifer has. You can tell I've spent some time on your website, young lady.
Yeah, and there's a really helpful, I actually use it a lot myself. There's a search tool on the website too. So if you're looking for, you know, something to use your chicken with, you can search for chicken and all the chicken recipes will come up, and then you can, you know, you can decide what you want to do from there. So
now I entered in Lay's potato chips and I didn't come up with anything.
I don't think any of my recipes include Lay's potato chips. I'm sorry, Jim. Maybe soon. Maybe I'll do that.
You know, we've been talking a year and you haven't broken my Lay's potato chip habit. It's got to be your fault, right?
I'm Sure, yes. So that's actually so funny that you say that. I have some clients that are like, Jennifer, will you just come home with me? Will you cook with me? Will you just be next to me so that you can make sure I do everything, you know, that I'm supposed to be doing? And I always just have to giggle because obviously that's not possible, right? I can't be the little guardian angel. Although some of my clients do kind of joke with me and they say, you know, that cheesecake was sitting in front of me, Jennifer, and I heard you on my right shoulder. I heard you saying, it's okay to eat a little bit of that, but don't go crazy.
Wow. And I'll just have to confess, you know, if I go buy a cheesecake at Costco, which is amazing.
I know, the best one.
You know, I have to have my guests eat 99% of it or I'm in trouble.
Yep.
It's just too good.
The self-control, it's a hard thing.
Well, Jennifer, and we need to get to a lot of the topics that we've already put together for our listeners today. You know, I put down a question kind of based on what you and I had been communicating via email, and that is, what is diet culture and diet mentality? It seems like everything you see on TV is a new diet. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, that's so. I think that the diet culture and I call it the diet mentality, just to put it a little bit more on an individual level, because the diet culture is kind of our general culture as a whole, right? And what people are believing as true, what they're listening to, what kind of scientific information they're getting, which, you know, most of it is actually not super scientific, especially if you're getting some of your information from, you know, social media and some of those outlets. But the diet culture really does affect how we think about nutrition ourselves on an individual level. And so they go together, but one is sort of on a cultural level, and then the diet mentality is sort of how you personally feel about it. And it can be really detrimental. So what happens is people's mental health gets really affected. And so I mentioned earlier, you know, just the short topic of comparison. And this is just one example of very many things that we really start thinking about in a negative way. And so the diet mentality, we start really focusing on weight loss and not health. And so probably a lot of our listeners can relate to this where, you know, they decide that they need to lose weight or something, and quickly it becomes actually something that is not good for our bodies. It becomes something where, you know, we are depriving ourselves too much. We're maybe over-exercising. Because we're depriving ourselves, we end up maybe overeating because we're not giving our bodies what it really needs. And so it's sort of this vicious cycle. So we end up with this pattern of restriction and then overeating. And then we have these feelings of guilt and shame and inadequacy. And then it just keeps snowballing and we keep trying new diets and we keep hoping for this new thing, you know, the next new thing or the next miracle, whatever, and it never comes, because the truth is that taking care of our bodies really takes a lot of work, right? And so there's just so many of these negative concepts and attitudes that really creep in, and that's really what creates this overall diet culture. And then, you know, another key piece of this is when we start talking about foods as good and bad. And so we've talked about this before, I think, on this show, but just, you know, categorizing foods that this one is good for me and this one is bad for me, that's really an unhealthy way of thinking about food and nutrition in general. So some of these ideas are things that, you know, over time, of course, we work on, you know, whatever specifically affecting the person that I'm working with, and we sort of start to overcome some of these diet culture mentalities as we look to see kind of what the Bible says about taking care of our bodies.
Jennifer, I want to talk, before we talk about the biblical perspective on all of this, I want to refer back to something you said about the science. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you talk science, we get the idea that well, at least I do, that I might not be smart enough to understand the science, you know, I mean,
right,
all the chemicals and all that kind of thing. I know what I like. I know what tastes good, and I'll look at packaging, but rarely until I met you and started talking with you on the show did I ever read the label. So if something said low fat, I kind of thought, oh, well, that's got to be better for me than something that's regular fat or high fat. But you taught us that almost always when it says low fat, that means it has a lot more sugar in it. And so that is really kind of just a simple scientific thing that people need to just read the label.
Right. And most of the time, you know, there's what I call aha moments, right? In a session, or like, I mean, you've had a couple with some of our conversations on the radio where it's just something that really sticks with you, right? And you just think about it and you start to actually think about how does that piece of information apply to what I'm doing. And that's really where the magic happens, is when you take information, and it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, I, of course, know a lot of the science behind some of these recommendations that I'm making, but I don't necessarily teach, you know, you that or my clients that. I mean, it's, you really don't need to know all of that. Although I do have a couple that sometimes ask me about the biochemical reactions of things and all of this. And so that's always fun to talk about too. But you don't need to have a PhD in nutrition to be successful in taking care of yourself. You know, it can be very simple.
Well, and then I want to go from foods that are labeled low fat, and maybe even foods that are in a package. I guess now that I'm saying that, that almost always means they're processed in some way.
Right.
And there may not be, you know, you've recommended fresh vegetables, fresh fruits. I don't think you have any problem sometimes with like frozen fruit and things that you might, you know, mix up in a shake or a nutritional drink of some kind. I know you've talked about that a little bit, but things that are packaged and have a lot of preservatives and always joked about Pop-Tarts and how they stay on the shelf and never seem to decay in any way. That's not a good thing to eat. But I want to ask you about supplements, because you're not totally against supplements, but if something says it's a diet pill that claims to reduce your appetite, is that a good thing?
So typically over-the-counter supplements that claim to reduce appetite really don't do much. I really haven't seen anybody, if I'm thinking about this, I haven't seen anyone have any success with anything over the counter like that. There are a few prescription appetite suppressants that are available right now. They're really, really tricky, because what they do is they act on an area of the brain that sort of receives signals from our stomach and from our intestine. And it sort of tricks our brain into thinking that we're full. But if we really think about what's happening when we overeat, most of us are not feeling excessively hungry, right? That's not usually why we're overeating. We're overeating because of, there's a lot of reasons actually, but a lot of times it's some kind of emotional connection, and we'll eat because we're lonely. We'll eat because we're sad. We'll eat because we're happy. We'll eat because we're celebrating. You know, I mean, the list just goes on and on. So we really don't necessarily need an appetite suppressant. I'm really a firm believer in just getting back to kind of paying attention to how our body is feeling and if we're actually hungry or not. I think that's just, that's really what it comes down to. So it's not necessarily a hard thing, but we don't think about it that way. We're always looking for the pill, right? We're looking for the magic pill. So that was a long answer for a short question, but so no, none of those appetite suppressants that are over the counter really work very well, but there are some that work well that are prescription, but not without side effects. You know, that's kind of the catch-22 with all of those prescription medications, is they fix one thing maybe, but then they cause another issue.
So we started our conversation by talking about diet mentality, and you've kind of taken people out of the diet mentality, and instead of worrying about weight, you're focused on health. So I want to ask you two more questions, one more question before we take the break, and then we'll come back and talk about a biblical perspective in all of this. Can you eat in a way, Jennifer, that reduces your craving to overeat?
Yes, and absolutely. So there's a couple of different ways to do that. But in general, the thing that I have seen work the best, and I sometimes feel like I sound like a broken record when I say this, but eating those vegetables, that it seems to be one of the keys. They're so nutritious and they fill you up because they have a lot of volume for not a lot of calories. And so I've been kind of experimenting with this myself as well, but trying to eat, you know, a salad or some raw vegetables or even some roasted vegetables or grilled vegetables first thing before you even get into the main part of your meal really seems to help sort of lower that appetite during the meal where you're not going to eat as much. And then, you know, when we're talking about snacking and things like that, then you get into some of the things like having a really good combination of nutrients for a snack can help you feel really full. So I don't know if anybody has, you know, tried eating an apple before. And if you eat an apple all by itself, you know, you don't really feel too full. And probably an hour later, you feel hungry. But if you add a little bit of peanut butter to that apple, that's going to have a lot more staying power. So there's a lot of ways that you can, if you are one that feels hungry often, there's a lot of little tricks and tips and things that you can do to sort of mitigate those effects.
And you've got a couple nice recipes for snacks. We'll talk about that a little bit more, and then we'll talk about a biblical perspective on eating and you know, the difference between what we're hearing from the advertisers and what the Bible says. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant, she'll be back.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8555.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate it to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at qualitymattershere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling, on Skype with us this afternoon. Thank you for joining us today on the show. Jennifer is a breath of fresh air, telling us all about the good things to eat, and she's going to give us a biblical perspective in just a minute. But our breaks, Jennifer, are now not just for our advertisers. I've got our staff running in here with good questions. So I got to ask you a couple of them, okay?
That's great.
It's kind of fun because we have the show on throughout I don't know if it's in the main church area of Calvary, but all in the connection area. So a couple questions for you. The first one is, companies are making products available that apparently put your body into ketosis very quickly. Is that a good thing?
That's a really good question. That's a hard question. It can be a good thing for some people. And so this is kind of, you know, this is the hard thing about nutrition, is there really is no one diet fits all. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, you know, that's part of the challenge of doing what I do, because, you know, and well, maybe this is why I have a job, of course. But so some people's bodies do actually do really well with ketosis. It's actually kind of easy to figure that out as well. So if you have ever tried to do kind of a keto diet, which is where you would be doing pretty low carbohydrates, depending on which advice you follow, you're talking about maybe 30 to 50 grams of carbohydrate a day, which is really, really low. It's pretty much just vegetables. And maybe some berries. I think some plans actually allow you to eat some berries. Some of the supplements out there that are helping people to get into ketosis a little bit faster are some of the nutrients that are actually involved in some of the biochemical reactions that happen when your body moves from using carbohydrates as its main energy source to using fats as its main energy source. And so that's really what ketosis is. Basically, instead of using those carbohydrates for energy, your body is using fat for energy. And so that process with burning fat for energy, one of the byproducts is ketones. And so that's what happens when you say I'm going into ketosis, is you've depleted all of your body's carbohydrate storage, which is typically in your muscles, a little bit in your liver, and you're training your body to burn fat as its source of fuel. You go out of ketosis immediately when you eat more carbohydrates than your body can handle, which, like I said, is somewhere between 30 and 50 a day, which is really, really low. There's a little bit of evidence that a ketosis diet is actually beneficial for brain health. A keto diet has been used for almost 100 years in patients who have seizures. When you deprive the brain of sugar, which is its main source of energy, then your brain actually functions on ketones and the brain chemistry changes a little bit. And so you end up with some benefits for, you know, preventing dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that. So that would be one example of where maybe a keto diet would actually work really well for somebody if there was a history of a brain dysfunction, you know, in the family with an immediate parent or sibling. That might be a good idea. The other thing though to say about a keto diet is that it can be actually really dangerous, and it's very unhelpful to go back and forth from doing a keto diet to eating, you know, like a regular amount of carbohydrates, or in many people's cases, extra carbohydrates, right? Because we've kind of talked about this. When you deprive yourself for a time, a lot of times what happens is the psychology of it makes you crave that food even more. And so sometimes people have a really hard time sticking with something like that. So I guess in general, you know, on a keto diet, there are a few supplements that I would really recommend, because you're cutting out, you know, whole groups of foods, you're going to be missing some of those nutrients. And so, you know, vitamins and minerals are definitely one thing. And then they also sell like a hydroxybutyrate is an example of something that is sold that actually does help your body sort of make that transition into ketosis a little bit better. There are some side effects that go with that transition. And so some of those supplements are sort of meant to limit those side effects a little bit so that it's not as uncomfortable.
You know, I have personally done that where, you know, you don't eat carbs for about 3 days. My body goes into ketosis and using fat for energy. I mean, I've lost weight, but I definitely feel different. I think I feel like my brain is not working as well as when I have some carbohydrates.
Yes. But and that's typical because your body really does thrive. Your brain really does thrive on glucose as its main energy source. And so a lot of times it'll take people months for their brain to really transition to, you know, quote unquote normal. And a lot of times that's too long for people. They can't handle, you know, the restriction that it requires.
Jennifer, I think you would say that we can balance our diet with normal foods. Again, you're not opposed to supplements in certain areas. Maybe when you're taking a medication and that seems to affect certain nutrients in your body, you're not opposed to supplementing. But you generally like to use natural food. So my next question is, can we be addicted to overeating?
That's a great question. I love that question. Yes and no.
Okay.
I never have a straightforward answer.
Are you a Democrat and a Republican? I'm teasing.
So I think, you know, it really, this is where you really dig into the root of the problem, right? Which is, that's really one of the things that I like to do with my clients. So if people are not familiar with the term functional nutrition, that's really what I do. So I don't just cover up the problem with, you know, healthy foods for a short time. We really try to look at what is the root problem and we really try to dig in deep. And so the question is really, why is the overeating a problem, right? So is it a sinful pattern? Is it something that, you know, somebody has fallen into that they feel stuck, they feel you know, like this is an area that they just really can't get a hold on. I think, you know, the church doesn't really talk about this too much, but I really am a firm believer that overeating is one of these tolerated sins in the church. And, you know, and that's not saying that anybody who needs to lose weight has an overeating problem. In fact, that's far from really what we're talking about here. And I think that's to be determined on an individual level. I mean, you know, personally, if you have overeaten at a meal, right? And so that's really the question that we want to get at. And then why are we doing that? And so I think that's really the question that we're looking at when we're talking about, are we addicted to overeating? I think a lot of it can be habits. I think a lot of it can be, you know, that our metabolisms just are not working for us. And obviously there's ways that we can change that with what we eat. But it's sort of this whole conundrum of what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? So is our metabolism slow and then we start eating a little too much and then it kind of snowballs? Or do we start eating a little too much or unhealthfully and then our metabolism suffers because of that, right? And so it really depends on the person what the underlying cause of the overeating is, how we would address that.
Jennifer, this past week I did an interview with Calvary Albuquerque Westside Pastor Jesse Lusco, and he has a quote that stuck in my mind. You called it an aha moment earlier, and I have many of those in our discussions, but he said on the program, the cure for any addiction is meaningful relationships with other people. And so you're really that other people. You're that other person. You're going to take someone confidentially and you're not going to sugarcoat it. I'm sure you're going to be nice because you're a very nice person, but you're not going to call overeating, oh, it's okay or whatever. You're going to really coach people. You're going to counsel them on how to eat in a regular way. You're going to set up some accountability. And I want to talk about that when we come back. So when we come back after this break, we're going to talk about a biblical perspective on weight loss. I have a feeling you're going to direct us away from weight loss. And we're then going to talk about your process and what you do for people. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Jennifer Bryant coming up.
We've all experienced a chance meeting, a timely text or phone call, or an unexpected financial or material gift. It's tempting to chalk such things up to good luck or coincidence, but these are actually holy moments. God's work in the details of your everyday life. Join Geology for Holy Moments, a free 5-week Bible study that starts Tuesday, July 14th at 6:30 p.m. in the Hub at the Osuna campus. There's no cost to register or attend. However, study materials cost $10. Please plan accordingly, as childcare will not be provided. Details and registration can be found online at calvarynm.church.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You'll get a better deal and a better experience. And every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
The Great Omission. That's what one author said the Great Commission has become. Obviously, not acceptable. At Star 88 and KNKT, we know this great mission job is one for the church. Each month, we put a spotlight on a global outpost for the gospel. This month, we're featuring Kevin Stark from Team Extreme.
We've never been at an event, whether it's Muslims in the crowd or Hindus or whatever, that haven't been touched by the message and the cross and the gospel and the resurrection. And just a great, unique, amazing way to preach the gospel. It's a different method, but the same message, cross or resurrection and Jesus and the kingdom.
That's Kevin Stark from Team Extreme in our spotlight on the Great Mission this month on Star 88 and KNKT. Fulfilling the command of Jesus is possible in our lifetime. To support this ministry, visit star88.fm or knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, on Skype with us this afternoon. It sounds pretty good, just like you're here, Jennifer.
I know. I think so, too.
I'm so amazed by technology. That has to be a silver lining to all of this COVID thing. Is the Bryant family holding up well? I know you have two children.
Yes.
Is your husband working at home also?
He is. He's working at home. And so our little 3-bedroom house is feeling a little bit crowded these days.
Well, there hasn't been any strangulations or anything, so I think you're good.
I know. I think we've learned to love each other a little more despite some of the things.
Well, and I know, Jennifer, that you're a person of faith. So let's get now to a biblical perspective on weight loss. What are your thoughts on that topic?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is a big area where people miss the point. So I feel like we sort of compartmentalize our lives, right? And I think for a lot of Christians, nutrition seems to be sort of one of these things that isn't really related to our faith. And I think that's where the devil really wants us, because I think that's where he can get a foothold. So I think we have to be careful of that. And, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about overeating, right? I mean, think about when it was written, there was not an abundance of food. You know, they just didn't really have the same struggles that we do today with eating. And so, you know, I think a lot of times people think, oh, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. So, you know, we just kind of give up and we turn to the culture for answers, or we turn to psychology for answers. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's a bad avenue. I think those things can be very helpful, but we're missing a really big piece then, right? We're missing looking into God's word for guidance. And so there are multiple scriptures in the Bible that really talk about taking care of our bodies well. And so the one, and doing everything for the glory to God. And that's really the one that keeps coming to my mind, is it's Colossians 3:17, where it says, you know, do everything for the glory of God. And so what does that everything mean to you? I mean, of course it means work. Of course it means taking care of our family and our homes and having good relationships. But have we ever thought about, does it relate to how we eat? And so I think that's really a key. Are we, and this is the question, you know, that our listeners should ask themselves today, am I doing everything? Am I eating according to the glory of God? And I think that once we start kind of digging in and applying some of those verses to how we're treating our bodies, how we're thinking about our bodies, how we're thinking about food and our nutrition, I think that can be really convicting in very helpful ways, because then we can be motivated to make some changes.
So if a person comes to you, and we might skip down the list here and talk about your process a little bit, because I think it's going to be appropriate. People are listening right now, and they know, you know, I've told you 100 times, I eat too many chips. I call myself a chipaholic, and I have to literally not buy chips, or I'm going to eat the whole bag. It's just ridiculous. But if I don't buy them, if I don't make provision for my flesh, I'm fine.
Right.
You know, there's so many discussions, and maybe that's psychology. You're not, you know, but it's also biblical. You're not going to, you know, surround yourself with a substance or a food that you're going to abuse. You know,
right.
It's kind of like people that have trouble with drinking. Well, you know, you don't want to have a lot of booze in your house. You don't want to go to a bar in those kind of situations. So the other thing is you got to have some accountability. So what I've learned is, oh, man, I'm telling everybody about this, because if I even go to a restaurant now, we have great Mexican food restaurants in
yes,
this town.
Yes, we do.
And I'm going to call it New Mexican, because I'll trust me, you know,
it's
New
different.
Mexican food is a lot different than Mexican food in Arizona and Mexican food in California. So I'm proud of the flavors of New Mexico. But if I sit down at Sadie's or Garcia's or Monroe's, oh, man, I love their salsa. I love their chips. I'm just in danger of eating like multiple baskets of it. So I just have to stay away from it.
Right.
And so talk to me about, compare, if you would, a biblical perspective with what advertisers are telling us every day.
Right. Well, I think we would all love to believe that we could just take a pill every day and we would look exactly as we want to look, right? And so there is a lot of wrong thinking with just even those two sentences that I just said. So first of all, you're not actually focused on how you're treating your body. You're focused on how you look. And so that is a huge thing that I work with people on, because that motivation of trying to look better, it's very fleeting. It does not last long. And so what happens is people are able to make a change. And I think people could relate if I say, you know, how many of you have ever thought, oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds before, you know, this vacation or before this wedding or before this reunion or, you know, whatever the occasion is. And then what happens when you get home, right? So it's a very fleeting motivation. And so I think what we really have to explore first is thinking about, well, why am I actually wanting to change my habits? What's the goal of this? And it's amazing when you really start changing the way you think about it to thinking about taking care of your body well so that you can do the work of the Lord, so that you can have good relationships with people, so that you can enjoy life on this earth. Those motivations tend to be the ones that really stick long term. And so you really start to see some lasting results when you think about how is the motivation supposed to be looking. And then the other thing that I think people miss is we all think of eating healthy as sort of like this chore. It's so hard to do. You know, when you tell somebody that you're eating healthy, you don't say it with an attitude of joy, right? You sort of say grudgingly, oh, I can't eat that, right? I can't eat that. I'm on this diet, you know, and it's like this terrible deprivation thing. And so I try to turn that around and do a complete 180 with that as well. And it's not deprivation. It's really a joy to be able to treat your body well and eat well. And that doesn't mean never eating your favorite foods, right? Mm. It just means eating them in a way that still can glorify God.
While we're talking with Jennifer, I am on the computer in front of me, and I've gone to her website, nourishnutritioncounseling.com, and right on the page here, it comes up with a new recipe for turkey and ground beef hero sandwich on pita bread. Looks delicious. All you have to do is click on the recipe, and Jennifer's made it so that you can literally print that out, stick it in your recipe notebook and have it, and it looks absolutely spectacular. I bring that up, Jennifer, because I want you to take us through the process. If somebody's interested in getting involved in your nutrition counseling, what are the steps they need to take?
Yeah, so the first thing I would recommend is just getting in contact with me via email or through my website. So my email is jennifer@nourishednutritioncounseling.com, and you can also get to that easily on my website. And just send me a message and tell me a little bit about, I call it your nutrition story. Everybody has a little story. You know, it doesn't have to be super in depth, but just a couple sentences and maybe what you'd like to change or what would be your goal. And then I would get back to you in an email with some options. And then we would schedule like about a 20-minute phone conversation just to kind of make sure that it's a good fit. I actually really have never had somebody after I talked to them on the phone decide that they don't want to work with me, but you know, that still is a possibility that where, you know, they just might need more than I can give them, or maybe they don't want as much as I give. I don't know. But that could be a possibility, but we would have a short phone conversation about goals and, what to expect and what kinds of a food plan we might decide to do, what would we be focusing on with goals, things like that. And like I said, I mentioned this before, but really all of my clients are doing something a little bit different. So it's really tailored to your lifestyle, to your food preferences. And it's one of those things where I want to see people succeed with this long term. And so I really, it's a great day for me when I graduate somebody and I say, you know, I am confident that you're going to do really well with this. That always makes me feel good. So I like to send people off and let them, you know, do well on their own.
Jennifer, as part of your process, you also have some other services that you provide, like you provide some genetic testing.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes a good indicator of how you can help people.
Yeah. And actually there's, I found a new resource, it's been about a month ago now, where I can take somebody's genetic information that they've already had done, like with 23andMe or with Ancestry, and put it together in a nutrition report where they can actually, get the information from their genes specifically related to nutrition. And so those 23andMe and Ancestry tests, they don't usually tell you a whole lot about nutrition or specific nutrition recommendations. And so that's one of the new things that I'm doing. And that's always really fun to do with clients. There's a lot of information to be learned about that.
Yeah. And you use the word fun. I
think it's fun.
I've not had you, you know, saying, okay, Jim, no more chips. You know, you haven't, you know, taking that initiative. But I have the feeling that you're always kind, you're always supportive, but at the same time, you're going to really motivate people to do something about the situation that they're in. So again, go to nourishnutritioncounseling.com. You can get in touch with Jennifer there, find out about what she's doing. You might just read the website and look at some of her recipes, and you're just going to see her approach is again refreshing and it's nice and it's enjoyable. Yeah, you've used that word a couple times today. Is you enjoy food. It's not a laborious, monotonous thing that you're going to ask people to do, and they're going to be more healthy for it. So when we come back, got to take another break. Say thank you to our sponsors, which we do really appreciate all they do to underwrite and support the programming here on KNKT. So stay with us. We'll be back with Jennifer Bryant right after these messages.
New Mexico, we love it, but it's no secret our state is left behind in some very vital social issues. Child hunger, single parents, and abortion, to name a few. The people of God can and must take action. That's what Mission New Mexico is all about at KNKT and Star 88. This month, featuring Lando Benally of Calvary Chapel Tolokai on the Navajo Nation.
It's very encouraging when you pull up at a house and these elders or these kids come running out to you, and just to see the joy in their eyes to receive the food, it's really uplifting, and it encourages you because you're doing it for a purpose.
That's Lando Benally of Calvary Chapel Tolokai on the Navajo Nation. This month's Mission New Mexico: loving our neighbors in practical and productive ways is Christianity 101. At KNKT and Star 88, we are a megaphone for New Mexico needs as we provide a clear call to action. Find out more about supporting the work of Calvary Chapel Tolokai by clicking the Mission New Mexico tab at knkt.com or star88.fm.
The Bible says that our hearts are sinful, that it's full of evil imaginations.
Billy Graham.
The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the reason Christ said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I ask you tonight, wouldn't you like to have a new heart? Wouldn't you like to have Christ tonight who can forgive the past, give you joy and peace in the present, and change your life for the future? He can do it if you let him. Give your life to Christ tonight. Let him give you a new heart. Make you a new person.
What Jesus Christ offers you is nothing short of revolutionary. If you're ready to surrender your life to him, we can help. Visit us at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist and a certified diabetes educator. She's also soon to be an author. Working on the book, The Nourish Road, 8 weeks of food and faith to fuel your health. How's that going, Jennifer?
Yeah, it's good. So it's done. I just finished a focus group with some people a couple of months ago, and I'm working on getting it published now. So if we have any listeners that, you know, have any insights in that, you know, feel free to let me know.
Well, I know once you get books done, then you kind of have to go sell the book to a publisher, and then the publisher kind of sells the book. But you've sold us, and I want to reiterate that you have a newsletter that comes out very frequently. People can sign up for that free information. You have different challenges. You offer personal counseling with people on nutrition. You offer genetic testing, which is assist them. You can use the genetic test. You just mentioned that before the break that they may have done through one of these other genetic testing plans. Most of the people are looking at genetic testing to find out what their ancestors, where they're from, and who they're made up of. But you can use it to help them with their nutrition.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the other thing, I guess, if somebody hasn't had it done, you know, there are specific companies that only test for nutrition information. So that's an option too. You know, if you haven't had the test done, it's a little more expensive option, obviously, just because you have to go through the testing process, but, it is an option if you haven't had that done. So.
Yeah. Well, and what kind of things do you find out? Like there's a gene that, maybe makes you susceptible to gaining weight? Is that the type of thing that you find out?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a couple of examples that I can share. So that's one of them. There's a handful of genes that are related to, you know, metabolism and how our body processes carbs, fats, et cetera. And so there's some really good information, not necessarily just are you susceptible to weight gain, but also would you potentially do better with weight loss with a high protein diet or more of a higher carbohydrate diet? Things like that. Which nutrients should you be really watching for? You know, maybe saturated fat is one that, and this was personally something that I found out that really kind of, it was an aha moment. You know, we've been talking about those today. And basically it's said that if I have a diet too high in saturated fat, that will really affect my weight. And so that was a moment where I decided to not become a vegetarian, but shift my eating a little more that way. So instead of just having a meatless meal, you know, once or twice a month, we do it every single week now, sometimes twice a week. And so that's been really helpful for me personally. There's a lot of other things. One of the other things that I really enjoy learning is, if there's any indication of a higher risk for a nutrient deficiency, like an iron deficiency or a folate deficiency or a B12 deficiency. There's a lot of genes that actually influence how we absorb vitamins and minerals. And so that's really helpful. The other one that probably you would find really interesting, Jim, is there's a lot of good information on exercise and which types of exercise are best for your body. And so that one has been really interesting to me too, personally, and then also with all of my clients. So that one's really good to know. And then there's also some information showing, you know, risk for like lactose intolerance or, you know, other food sensitivities and things. It's not completely, comprehensive for food sensitivities. There are actually other tests that are a little bit better for that, but they do give you a couple of, you know, simple recommendations for that.
Well, Jennifer, I'm very certain that all people, no matter what their gene makeup is, should shoot baskets. They should play a little basketball. I'm sure that's good for their health, and I want to recommend that very highly.
I love it. You love basketball, Jim, and I love that. And actually, if you think about what you're doing with basketball, you're doing all different kinds of exercises. You're doing cardio, you're doing some strength, you're doing short bursts, you're doing endurance, you're really doing it all. So actually, you're kind of right, because since you're doing it all, it would be good for everyone.
Well, you know, I have my friends that they like to run. Well, I always came in last. I mean, I just couldn't run, and that's no fun. So then I have my friends that play with this little pointy ball. Well, I didn't like that, because if you drop it, it doesn't come back to you. It goes like sideways. And then there's people that play with a white ball that they throw, and you're supposed to swing a bat at it. Well, I could never hit it. So, you know, so I just go through the list, and I finally find this giant ball that when you bounce it, it comes right back to you. You can throw it up. And for some reason, I had a propensity to be able to make it go in the basket. So anyway, I it's very therapeutic. Hey, I want to shift gears just a second. I don't mean to joke around too much, but you know, this is a serious topic. We're talking about portion controls. We're talking not about losing weight, but about being healthy. And, you know, our society, and this is not a criticism, this is just the way it is. Many households have to have two jobs. You know, mom and dad are both working. There's not a lot of time to prepare healthy food. You've told us that a lot of food that you go, you buy, you know, fast foods and different things are not necessarily really good for us. But how about the companies providing the meals that you can now cook at home? Are those pretty good?
Yeah, usually those are pretty good. There's so many different options available now. And the one thing I love about them is they basically do your planning for you, right? And you're shopping for you. So they plan a couple of meals a week for you, and then they deliver your ingredients to your door. So that's really helpful for some people, especially if you're not used to doing any kind of meal planning. It is expensive though. So that's kind of the downside of those types of services. So one of the things I do work a lot with people on is actually learning how to do meal planning in a way that is not overwhelming for their family or their lifestyle. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. So I have a little meal planning book that I use, and I sit down for maybe 15, 20 minutes a week, and I plan my meals for the whole week. And that's when I make my grocery list. And maybe one or two times a week, I'll cook something that takes an hour. But most of the time, I'm making meals that are, you know, they take me 20, 30 minutes to prepare. So, I mean, I'm a working mom too, right? I have little kids. I don't have a ton of time to be in the kitchen cooking and doing all of these, you know, gourmet things. So that's one of the things that I love about what I do, is just empowering people that this doesn't have to take a lot of time. It just takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of discipline to try to do it every single week.
You mentioned your children, and I know you've told us before, but tell us how you involve them in preparing meals.
Yeah, I love involving my children. They don't always love it, but but I do. So Joshua's 10, and so he is to the point where he can actually do a lot of things. So I've taught him how to chop, you know, pretty simple vegetables and fruits and things, and he does a really good job with that, of course, with some supervision. And then actually I'm at the point with him where I'm starting to teach him how to actually make a recipe. So again, he does this with supervision, but he has a handful of recipes now that he can actually make all on his own, and he knows how to measure things and he knows how to follow a recipe. And so that's been really fun actually, because, you know, every once in a while he'll cook us a dinner. And so that's really helpful, of course. My daughter Claire, she's six. I had to think about that for a minute. And so she helps me with a lot of things too. So she'll help me stir, she'll help me, you know, wash the produce. I haven't really given her a lot of room yet using knives and chopping things, but she's always excited to help. And one of the things that I do with my kids is I have them help me taste things as I'm cooking, and they really love that. So that's kind of my motivation to get them to help me, as I tell them, you can taste it if you help me, and they get really excited about that. So, and they also help. I have a little garden in my backyard, and they help me water the garden, and then they help me harvest when it's time to bring the food inside. And so that's always fun too, to get them to try new things. If we grow it, they're a lot more likely to try it.
I remember my mom used to like to make mashed potatoes that she would whip with a mixer. And I always used to get a beater with fresh mashed potatoes hot on them. And man, those were delicious. Of course, all of us have had lick the beater from the frosting on the cake. And I mean, I'm just thinking of all those, reminiscing about all of that. But I want to tell you how that all pays off, because you don't have children as old as mine. Well, my children are all adults, and I did very similar things. I know you cook in a gourmet way, and your presentation is beautiful. I can tell that from your pictures on your website. No, I'm not too artistic when it comes to that, but I did, I think, cook some good food for my kids. And here's the fun thing. Both of my boys, for example, are in San Diego, and they will prepare a meal for their friends, and they shoot a picture of it, and they send it to me and say, "See, Dad, you taught us well." And I really appreciate that. They all like to cook. They all do.
Yes.
And I know people that hate cooking. I mean, I know a lot, and I'm not on anybody's case. If you hate cooking, you probably ought to just try to make some simple things, and learn. And I know people are going to rather have, you know, time and not wanting to learn. Maybe these boxed meals is a good way to go, but there's a lot out there, and people that have families, this is a special way to not just prepare a meal for them, but to get them involved in the process and just the conversations and the things that can come from that, I think are pretty special, especially while we're all kind of still staying isolated because of COVID. So yeah, that's great insight. Jennifer, you have some perspectives I want you to kind of finish up the show with. You mentioned supplements are sometimes necessary when we're not getting certain nutrients, we're on certain medications, and we need. Can you kind of give us an overview of that real quick?
Yeah. So Along with my business, I have a company that I use for supplements. It's called Pure Encapsulations. There's a link to it on my website if people are just interested in browsing. I use them because they're a great company. They sell only to healthcare providers and they have a lot of research to back up their products. And so I really do appreciate that. I recommend a multivitamin for most of my clients. And then there's a few other supplements, like for example, if you don't eat fish, I would potentially recommend a fish oil. Or if you don't drink milk, I would recommend a calcium supplement. So there's some really simple things that you can do. You don't have to be on $100 a month, you know, supplement schedule. It can be simple and still give you a huge benefit.
I have friends, Jennifer, that take, I'm not exaggerating, 16 or 20 different pills every day. And I don't want to criticize it. I mean, most of it is, I guess, natural and food-based and that kind of thing. But gosh, it seems like you would get the majority of what you need out of eating a nice diet.
Right. Well, that's the goal. We want to try to get most of what we need from eating what's good for us.
What's the hope on the book? The book is called The Nourished Road, 8 Weeks of Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health. Would a publisher get a hold of this and get it out to market before Christmas?
I don't think so, Jim. It's not looking that way. But like I said, if anyone listening has some connections, let me know.
All right. Jennifer Bryant, thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.